of Proverbs, chapter 3. Proverbs, chapter 3. We want to do three things this morning, I think. Number one, we want to look at the concept that is mentioned in chapter 3, verse 1, where Proverbs says, "My son, do not forget." And we want to trace out the biblical concept of what it means to forget, or what the scripture says by forgetting God. The second is probably the largest topic in the book of Proverbs, and that is let your heart. Over 100 times, the book of Proverbs mentions the heart, and it divides it into two parts, the good heart and the what we will call diseased heart or bad heart. And we'll have about a dozen characteristics that indicate that we have spiritual heart trouble. And then we want to look, if we have time, at the concept of words and their power in the book of Proverbs. Remember, if you're new, we study the book of Proverbs two ways. Number one, strictly through the narrative, taking verse by verse by verse. However, you cannot do that with the entire book. As a matter of fact, you cannot do that with at least half of the book simply because it isn't put together that way. You have scattered ideas about forgetting God, about knowing God, about our words that are found throughout the entire book, and you have to collect them. And so this morning we'll be doing a little collecting of the concept in the Old Testament of what it is to forget God. And we start out with, and we'll look at verses other than in Proverbs, we start out that it is such and such to forget God. So, number one, to forget God is failure to know God. To fail to know God is to forget God. So we'll construct our notes in such a way that is to forget God. We'll complete the sentence, and then we'll have eight features of what it is to forget God. And number one, to fail to know God. I should put all the words in there. To fail to know God is to forget God. To know God is to forget God. Now let's do a little work, however, with the concept found in chapter 3, verse 1, that says, "My son, do not forget God." And the first thing we need to say about that is the word forget is in the form of a command and therefore appeal to volition. You can do something about it. And in this context is make up your mind that you will not forget my teaching. Now, there are two kinds of forgetfulness that we have in the book of Proverbs or in the Old Testament. And let's put those two down. Number one is there is lapse of memory forgetfulness. Lapse of memory forgetfulness. Lapse of memory. And this simply means, to put it in the simple terms that I would understand, is the frequent occurrence, I can't find my keys. I don't remember where I laid them. And you know, as simple as that seems, as many times I've been told, put them in the same place every time. That's impossible. I cannot do it. I will always put them down and forget that I've done it. The book of Proverbs and the Old Testament, when it talks about forgetting God, is not this kind. It is not lapse of memory. It is, rather than lapse of memory, it is lack of will. Lack of will. And that's why we begin in chapter 3, verse 1, do not forget. It's an appeal to the volition, it's an appeal to the will, and he simply says, do not do this. And we want to look at this throughout the Old Testament. First of all, Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. Hosea 4:6. Now, an interesting thing is sometimes we learn what a thing is by its antonym. That means its opposite meaning. What is the opposite of forgetting? The opposite of forgetting is to remember. But notice in Hosea 4, verse 6, that is not the case. The opposite of failing to know God is to forget God. And so forgetting God is to fail to know God, or we could put an equal sign. To fail to know God equals forgetting God. And therefore we have, or no, pardon me, to fail to know God equals forgetting of God. Chapter 4, verse 6. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, because you have rejected knowledge. Notice this is an act of the will. I will also reject you from being my priest, since you have forgotten the law of God. I will forget your children. And so notice the idea of forgetting God is you do not know Him. And therefore, we ought to put down the lack of will or a negative attitude toward the Word of God. To have a negative attitude towards God's Word is to fail to know God. To fail to know God equals forgetting God. Number two. Failure to obey God is to forget God. Failure to obey God is to forget God. Look for that at Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 11. Deuteronomy 8, 11. Failure to obey God is failure is to forget God. Chapter 8, verse 11. Beware lest you forget the Lord your God by not keeping His commandments. And therefore the idea is to disobey God is to forget God. To disobey is to forget God. So we've got several verbs. If we do not know God in the light of His revelation, that means we forget Him. If we do not obey God, then we forget Him. And we're going to find out that one of the great laments of God, we all have things that we lament, things we feel sorry about, things we wish were not the case, and we regret many, many things. Well, you know what one of God's chief regrets is? One of the things that God laments at, and we'll find the passage that does that, is my people forget me. How do they forget me? They don't know me. If you don't know me, you forget me. How else do they forget me? They don't obey me. And if they don't obey me, they have forgotten me. So, Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 11. Beware lest you forget the Lord your God. And again, it's appeal to volition. Your God, by not keeping His commandments and His ordinances and His statutes, which I'm commanding you this way. To obey God or disobey God is to forget God. I shouldn't say to obey God. Can I start my outline over? I got up here before I started class, and I thought, well, I'll just write out the predicate, is to forget God, and it's got me all mixed up. Not clear. Let's list them once again. Failure to know God, Hosea, failure to know is to forget God. And let's just repeat the word forget so we get the lesson each time. One of the meanings of forgetting God is you don't know God. If we don't know God, we have forgotten God. Number two, failure to obey God is to forget God. Failure to obey is to forget. Now, is that better? What we want to do is associate the forgetting with the verb that goes with it. Failure to know is to forget. Failure to obey is to forget. And all these things are really what they're doing. They're taking the word forget and let us develop that. How do we forget? It's not just lapse of memory. It is things that go much deeper than lapse of memory. Okay? If we fail to make Him Lord in our lives, it is to forget Him. Failure to make Him and recognize Him as Lord, and we mean to make Him in the sense of recognize Him. Obviously, He is Lord whether we make Him that or not, but this is one of the synonyms with what does it mean to forget God. Okay, number three, to make Him Lord, or failure to make Him Lord, is to forget Him. Chapter 8, where we already are in Deuteronomy, and verse 19. Chapter 8, verse 19. And it shall come about that if you ever forget the Lord your God, how do you do that? Well, we're not told. We're simply talking about forgetting God. If you shall ever forget the Lord your God, and now here's what it means to do that, and go after other gods and serve them and worship them, I will testify against you today that you shall surely perish. So failure to make Him Lord and recognize Him Lord is to forget. I guess another way of teaching this lesson would be to put the word forget equals failure to know, equals to, these things in order. So failure to make Him Lord is to forget God. Four, failure to recall His works is to forget God. Failure to recall His works is to forget Him. And for that, look at Psalm 106, verse 13. Psalm 106, verse 13. And notice in this context, forgetting is to forget His works, to ignore His works, not to recognize His works. And of the children of Israel who came out of Egypt delivered by a supernatural thing, who were fed in the wilderness, who were given water to drink, who were led by the pillar and by the cloud, forgot about all those things. They forgot His works. And notice chapter 106. And verse 13 reads as follows. They quickly forgot His works. And the works goes back in the context of the chapter. For example, they rebelled by the sea, the Red Sea. He rebuked the sea and it dried up. Coming down to verse 9, verse 10, He saved them from the hand of the one who hated them. He redeemed them from the hand of the enemy. And so forth. The waters covered their adversaries, that's the Egyptians. And all of this is saying what? They forgot all about it. God had done wonderful things for them, but they forgot His works. And that is a common sin among believers. Christ has done a wonderful work for us on the cross, and how easy we forget it. God recognizing this principle that we forget what He has done for us has given to the church an ordinance, and it's called what? The ordinance of communion. And I guess not incidentally, but this morning we have the cup and we have the bread down here for one reason. It is so easy to forget, and therefore we'll need to come together in the next hour and gather together as a group of believers, focus our attention on what we so easily forget and what God says is so easy to forget. I'm going to ask you to do it often in remembrance of me. Why do we need to do this often in remembrance of me? Why don't we celebrate other things, such as the Holy Spirit indwelling us? Because the thing that is easy to forget is the greatest of all works, namely the work of the cross. And therefore, we need some aid to help us remember this. Deuteronomy chapter 9. Deuteronomy 9. And this chapter, once again, deals with the concept of forgetting God. And this is a rather long one, but here's what it is. If we fail to perceive all blessings as by grace, we forget God. So failure, I'll just put to perceive grace. Failure to perceive grace. I'll just abbreviate failure to perceive, and we're looking at Deuteronomy 9, verses 6 and 7. Know then, it is not because of your righteousness that the Lord your God is giving you this good land. In other words, it's grace. It's not because of anything you have done to possess it, for you're a stubborn people. And that again is grace. Grace is God giving to people who do not deserve it and giving to people those who deserve the very opposite of blessing. And here it is in the words stubborn people. Remember, do not forget how you provoked the Lord your God to wrath in the wilderness from the day that you left the land of Egypt until you arrived at this place. You have been rebellious against the Lord. And yet, in the midst of all of this, you ought to perceive everything that God has done for you. The provision of all of these things as a matter of grace. And if you don't perceive that, what do I have to say? You have forgotten God. So far then, we have five ways we may forget God. Number six. And this is going to be a little bit of a positive note, but we all have done this, and in doing so, we are forgetting God, and that is this. To fear another person is to forget God. Or, let's make it broader, to fear man is to forget God. To fear man is to forget God. Isaiah chapter 51. Isaiah chapter 51. To fear another person or to fear man is to forget God. And you should be able to see the logic of that. Is it that if I fear man, then I am perceiving as man being bigger than God. And no one is bigger than God. And therefore we fear man because we have forgotten who our God really is. And we're looking at Isaiah 51, verses 12 and 13. I am he who comforts you. Who are you that you are afraid of man who dies and the son of man who is made like grass, that you have forgotten the Lord, your maker? So by focusing on man and fearing man, we are not focusing on God, and therefore God has said, you have forgotten me. Many, many ways that God can be forgotten. Now, what is the major cause of forgetting God? What is the major cause? The major cause is material prosperity. And it does not mean that material prosperity is bad, but materialism is a means of forgetting God because we tend to look upon material possessions as security. Look, please, at Deuteronomy chapter 8. Once again, Deuteronomy 8. Verses 11 through 14. Beware lest you forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments and so forth. And notice verse 12. Here is a factor in forgetting God. Lest when you have eaten and are satisfied. And eaten and satisfied is going to be the means whereby they were caused to forget God. It doesn't mean it was wrong to eat. It does not mean it was wrong to be satisfied. But you may be too satisfied to the point that everything is going so well and we're so happy and so satisfied. Continuing on in verse 12, you have built good houses and lived in them. And when your herds and your flocks multiply, and your silver and gold multiply, and all of you have multitudes. And notice it's all spelling out material prosperity, tremendous prosperity. Then, verse 14, your heart becomes proud, and you forget the Lord your God. So materialism can draw us away from God. Look at Hosea chapter 13 and verse 6. Hosea 13 and verse 6. As they had their pasture, that is the material things, they became satisfied. And being satisfied, their heart became proud, therefore they forgot me. So there is nothing wrong with material prosperity. As a matter of fact, who gave them the herds, the land, and all of this? Who gave them material goods? God did. Listen carefully. God's blessing can be dangerous. God's blessing can be dangerous, and God blessed them with herds, with food, with drink, with the land. And he says, the blessing is from me. Don't ever forget that. But remember, it's dangerous. And the danger involved is you can take the blessings of God and turn them into a means for forgetting God. Now, one of the major laments of God in the Old Testament is that his people have forgotten him. And let's look at that in the book of Jeremiah. And let's go first of all to Jeremiah 2, verse 32. Jeremiah 2, 32. We'll keep these all in the book of Jeremiah. Why do we need to even talk about the subject of forgetting God? Why do we need that? As a matter of fact, we some time back went over this concept of forgetting God. Why do we need to go over the concept of what it means to forget God? And the reason for that is what? We forget God. It's the easiest thing in the world to do. And this is one of the things that injures and causes God to be grieved. Jeremiah 2, verse 32. Can a virgin forget her ornaments or a bride her attire? Yet my people have forgotten me days without number. And here is a very tender lament on the part of God. He says, like a bride that can't remember her dress, you're like a people that have forgotten me, and you've done it days without number. Continue with the same book, chapter 3, verse 21. Chapter 3, verse 21. And notice how tender and how tear-filled are these laments on the part of God. Chapter 3, verse 21. A voice is heard on the bare heights, the weeping and supplication of the sons of Israel, because they have perverted their way. And God says, they have forgotten the Lord your God. Chapter 13, verse 25. Chapter 13, 25. And once again, you have a lament on the part of God that reads, this is your lot, the portion measured to you from me, declares the Lord, because they have forgotten me and trusted in falsehood. It's very interesting that God does not just lament the sin of Israel, but the fact is, in their middle attitude, you have excluded me. You have forgotten me, and this is one of his chief laments in the book of Jeremiah. Chapter 18, verse 15. 18:15. For my people have forgotten me. And you would insert at that point, in what way have your people forgotten you? Well, by worshiping other gods. They have stumbled from their ways, from the ancient paths. They have forsaken what they know of the revelation of God to walk in bypaths, not on a highway, or simply saying in our parlance, how did they forget God? They forgot God by getting sidetracked, away from priorities. Chapter 23, verse 27. He's speaking of the false prophets who intend to make my people forget. What is he saying? He's saying there are a lot of false prophets out there, and their design and their intent is to draw you away. They want to sidetrack you, and verse 27 states that, who intend to make my people forget my name by their dreams which they relate to one another, just as their fathers forgot my name because of Baal. Therefore, to summarize our lesson this hour, what have we learned? That there are many, many, many ways in which God can be forgotten. And the idea of forgetfulness is expressed in the idea, if you don't know him, you've forgotten him. If you don't obey him, in his eyes, he is the forgotten God. If we do not make him Lord, we have forgotten him. If we fail to recall and memorize and remember his wonderful works to us, we have forgotten God. If we do not perceive every blessing as a blessing of grace, we have forgotten God. If we fear man, then we have elevated man to an illegitimate place, and we have devalued God, and we fear man, and therefore God says, you have forgotten me. And if we gain material things, and they cause us to turn away, to forget mentally the Lord and his blessing to us, then we have forgotten God. And therefore, let's return to where we began in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1. Remember the theme that we emphasized in the book of 2 Peter? Things to remember, not to forget. Well, that's a theme of the Word of God. And the author of Proverbs comes to this point and says, there are some things that you need to be sure you do not forget. And I appeal to you and I appeal to your volition by saying, my son, don't forget my teaching. Does the son have his teaching? Does he have his commandments? Yes, he does. So it is one thing to possess the truth of God. It is another thing to forget that. Now, it's apropos this morning then, and we're not doing it this hour, but that next hour we will gather together to remember a very important thing. And it may be a thing that, let me ask you to do a little self-examination. Jesus Christ took all of your sins and the penalty for them in his own body on the cross. How many times has that crossed your mind this week? Now, we all know it. And we all say, yeah, I've heard that before. I know that's true. But have we forgotten it effectively by means of it not being in the forefront of our mind? And God says to the whole church, every one of you need to remember me at the Lord's table, and you do it on a regular basis. Why? We all forget. I always shudder when I hear someone say, well, I've heard that teaching before. Probably not. I don't know of any teaching that I ever remember without effort and without recall. And therefore, this morning we'll be taking the bread, and we will, by that physical symbol, be saying, I remember and I recall the cross. And we will take the cup and we will remember that it was his shed blood, that precious blood of which Peter speaks of, that was poured out for us. And we need to actually recall that by a physical act. There are not many things in the body of Christ that require a physical act, is there? But remembering requires a physical act. And part of that is seen in the communion that we'll all partake together this morning. Father, we're thankful for your word. Help us to recognize the inner tendency to forget, to be detracted, to be sidetracked, to be pulled off into other things. And we pray this morning as we corporately, as a body of believers, call to mind your cross, your body given for us, and your blood shed for us. May we remember so as to have in the forefront of our minds the work of Jesus Christ for us. And we, in the human sense, apologize for the fact that one of your great laments is my people simply do not remember and recognize me. Help us not to commit that sin, and help us to put in the work and the effort to recall to mind your great works for us. In Christ's name, amen.